We're going to let you get out to your practices and your Sunday school and rehearsing for the nativity. And kids, you're going through that door there and upstairs. Just watch how you go, guys. Watch how you are. There we go. We're on. Now, I want to tell you about the day that Snoop Dogg and I went to the shops. Who knows who Snoop Dogg is? Yeah, no, not Snoopy. No. This is Snoop Dogg. He's a bad boy gangster rapper. I don't know why I'm kind of going like that. It must be that I'm just down with the kids. Must be that I am, yeah, boy. Went to the show. I know, I feel I should have got a baseball cap. I should be turning back to front or something right now. But that's more like Fresh Prince than Prince of Peace, isn't it? It's July 1994. Heather and I are on our summer holidays with Heather's parents. And for the first time ever, we are in Orlando, Florida, the Sunshine State. It was a day of rest from walking around the theme parks. So we were walking around the shopping mall, as it happens. We're about to go into one of these sports shops, one of the sports trainers' shoe shops that's there. And we were prevented from doing so. And we're like, what's going on here? How come what has happened here that this shop is closed during the day? Do you guys not know that this is not good business practice to have your shop shut during the day? Working hours, shop open, people in, buy trainers. Thank you very much, your profits are up. Shop closed during the day, not a good idea. So we're sitting there wondering what's going on when next we see a scrum of people coming from our right, a mix of burly security guards and an entourage of homeboys that are just surrounding this individual that was in the middle. And all of a sudden we hear somebody saying, it's the dog. And I'm thinking, I see no puppy. I see no Rottweiler. It's the D-A-W-double-G. It's the dog, which you probably said with an American accent, but I will not do that. It's Snoop. Hey, Snoop. And all of a sudden, this thin, wiry, slightly dreadlocked individual, you know, is kind of like in the middle of this rugby scrum. Now, I have to say that my very young and sensitive and Christian ears had not heard. Don't bother Spotifying them. No. Yeah, you'll be having to repent. I had never watched any of his videos. I'd never seen anything that he'd been in, but I had to take their word for it that here was Snoop Dogg, this rap star, who was, the shop had been shut so that he could get into the shop himself. So that obviously, you know, the set of trainers that I was going to buy was going to be the last pair in the shop that he was going to buy. And so, you know, in honor of preferring one another, I kind of let him have it because, you know what, obviously his need was going to be greater than mine. He was surrounded in those moments. He was being kept safe, and he was on course for where he needed to be and where he wanted to be. It's the archetypal entrance, whether it's royalty, presidents, or sports stars or media celebrities that's there. It's the moment that they appear in public and they are surrounded by people who will help them get to where they need to be, who will make sure that they are, you know, perhaps being surrounded by suits, moved by those minders from point A to point B, that they are kept safe and they're on course for where they need to be. And I thought, what would it be like if our lives were surrounded by the Lord? What would it be if our lives were surrounded by those attributes, those qualities, those things of heaven that would help us from getting from point A to point B, or actually from point A to point Z of our life, or from point A to point H of heaven, in our life, what would it be? What if this Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, this God that's up there, that's out there, but is also our loving Heavenly Father, what if He wanted to surround us? What if He wanted to enable us? What if He wanted to help us making it through this thing called life? What if He wanted us to be able to not just discover and hear about His plans for our life, but to actually fulfill His plans for our life? What if He wanted us to begin to develop an understanding and a knowledge of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? What if He wanted to help us discover the principles of heavenly living on earth today and offering those encounters and experiences with the Holy Spirit in your now? I believe that He does. I believe that He wants to enable us to be surrounded by Him, that comes with blessing, that comes with protection, and enables us to stay the course and to get us from where we want to be. I believe that some of this is for you, Hannah, but it's also for us together as church. I wonder if you'd turn with me in your Bible, if you'd boot up in your digital device, if you'd get to Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read the first 7 verses. This is the Apostle Paul writing to one of the ancient churches, the church that he spent the most time with. You know, and us having looked at Ephesus in our last Bible series of 7 letters, 8 churches, I'm not going to go into some of the background. You know, you might need to revisit the live stream and the recordings on the church website if you want to encounter that and get that back fresh in your head. But in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 1, it says this: "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and is in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." I'm going to stop there, although Paul begins to talk about Jesus taking captivity captive, and Jesus then appointing gifts and ministries and offices within the church that are to enable and to equip the saints for the work of ministry, what would be known as the fivefold ministry that's there. But I want us to think for a few moments about these verses, about the qualities that are spoken of there, about the way that Paul wants to teach the church and say, here are things to surround your life with. Here are qualities, here are attributes, here are some God stuff that is going to help you get through your life. Anybody up for a bit of that? I want to encourage you, number one, to aspire to be surrounded. He says there in verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. There is passion from this prisoner who is in chains. Here is Paul who's imprisoned by the state of Rome. Here is Paul who is incarcerated for his faith. And he is saying to them, live a life worthy of the calling. Saying, if I was there with you, I would be almost, as much as I can, twisting your arm up your back to say, come on, guys, let's live it. Let's live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received. Can I encourage you to set yourself up to be surrounded by God? I wonder, what does a worthy life look like? Worthy is one that we would aspire to be like. You know, who are you aspiring to be like? Lots of people, you know, in this digital media age, they want to be like whoever's latest on YouTube is the blogger that's there. They want to be whoever there who's posting lots, or maybe it's the latest football or movie star. Who are you aspiring to live a life like? Who do you want to be worthy of? Where is the calling of God that is upon your life? Because that's what you need to set yourself up for. I want to suggest to you that to discover this, it starts with a wow moment. A wow moment that is a revelation, a discovering, an uncovering of Jesus of the Bible. The Bible just says that the God of this age has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. It's about lifting that blindfold to begin to see what's going on around about you and to catch a glimpse of the glory of Jesus. Maybe it's the image of receiving a present that's wrapped and of unwrapping the present so you can actually see what is inside it and see the gift that is there. That unwrapping, that wow moment of, is this for me? The wow moment is then followed by an uh-oh moment. An uh-oh moment of an awareness of, he is God and I'm not. He is holy and I am unholy. An uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You ever had those moments? Maybe back in the day, your mother caught you doing something that you shouldn't have. There was a moment where I was swinging on a pulley in our basement as a child. And the pulley rope snapped. And I'm standing holding this pulley as my mother comes down the stairs in the basement. I want to tell you, it was an uh-oh moment. Because there was nowhere to run to. There was nowhere to hide. And there wasn't even a brother or a sister to say, it was them, it wasn't me. Even though I'm holding it. It comes with an uh-oh moment, an awareness of our unworthiness before a perfect God. It then goes on to one of those moments. One of those moments when you just, your heart begins to melt by the display of God's love and of God's affection that is towards you. Those moments of, God, you're a God of love, but God, you love me. With all my stuff, with all the things that's going on in my life now, with all the things of my backstory, God, you love me. And I think we get a wee taste and a wee flavor of that from some of the things that Hannah shared. It's that moment of having your heart melted by the display of God's love. And for Hannah, it was when Johnny was, her brother was speaking. It's like, God, you love me. I can be in this place. It doesn't fall down around about my ears. And Lord, you actually love me and you want to welcome me back into the family. It's an moment of choosing to ask for his help in your life to live his way. Because God doesn't set us up for a fail. God sets us up in faith. And he wants to enable us, he wants to help us get through this thing called life. He wants to surround our life so that we can get from point A to point B, or point A to point Z, point A to point H of heaven, whatever we want to describe it, and all points in between. The plans that he's got for us, he wants us to experience. Yeah. The purposes that he has designed for our lives, he wants us to run with. He wants us to know. He wants us to succeed in, and he wants us to experience in our life. But that aha moment means that we've got to ask. See, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I do apologize. My voice was okay till there was a dodgy refereeing decision yesterday afternoon. Although wearing tartan-filtered lenses, you may say there was a number of dodgy refereeing decisions yesterday afternoon. The Bible also says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. That's also in the book of Romans, might be a good book for you to read. It also talks about being welcomed, adopted into the family of God, that Abba Father spirit, that Daddy God moment of revelation that's there in Romans chapter 8 as well. In those moments, we begin to discover what we've been saved from and what we've been saved to. We begin to discover that God is not against me, but God is for me. We begin to discover that this holy, awesome God allows, through the death and resurrection of his son Jesus, through the shedding of his perfect son's blood on the cross, that we might be forgiven, that we might be welcomed as sons and as daughters of the living God, that our eternal destiny doesn't need to be the consequences, the payment, the wages of our sin, but it's actually, it's the free gift of God. But to get that wow moment, we maybe need to see it. We maybe need to unwrap that free gift of God and begin to encounter Jesus for ourselves. This is at the essence and the heart of our baptismal service today. It is all about Jesus in a believer's life. It's a declaration that the old ways are gone. Now, it doesn't mean perfection. That's why God gives his grace. Doesn't mean perfection, but it means that the old ways are gone. And it's a public commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hannah is saying today, to the best of my ability, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. And if I get it wrong, I'm going to allow his grace and mercy, his forgiveness upon my repentance to come and to help me as it is for each and every one of us. It is at the bedrock of our belief and the orientation of our living. It is on offer for every single one of us today. What have you done about it? Can I just lob that into the mix? What have you done to surround yourself, to be urged, as I'm urging you today, as the Apostle Paul's urging, to live a life worthy of the calling? Do you know what God has called you to? Do you know who he's called you to be? What are you doing to make sure you fulfill your side of the bargain? I mean, he does everything bar you saying yes. Bar you saying, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. You surround yourself on the outside. I want to say you want to surround your heart and you want to surround your mind on the inside. You want to surround yourself with a godly attitude. Verses 2 and verse 3 speaks of that. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Read it, do it, live it. And I know that's easier said than done, because not all of you are as perfect as I am. Sorry, not all of you see life like I do. Maybe one day though, no. That is our challenge. We live with people who see things differently. We live with people who want to do things differently. We live with people. How do we make sure then that we surround ourselves with those godly acts when there's circumstances, when there's folks that maybe want to buff against us, when there's things that want to come our way that we are not expecting and wanting, that would maybe want to consciously or subconsciously knock us off course from where we might be or where we should be? Well, Father God wants to help us in that too. If you flick back a couple of pages in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, it speaks about, you know, these God qualities to surround your life with that are described as being the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Before it speaks of the sins of the flesh. You know, you might want to go into a wee checklist and see where, you know, if there's anything that needs to be dealt with God in that. That God wants to fill our life with the fruit, the evidence of the Spirit of God in operation, surrounding our life, surrounding our attitudes and our character with these qualities to enable us to live for him. And it says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let me say them again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. It is the outworking of our cultivated relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. See, he wants us to get there. He gives us power to enable us to even overcome our own attitudes that wants to please self and often get them, or get even, or sort them out. He wants to help us show a fruitfulness in our life that is evidence of our relationship, our connection with heaven. This means us living counter-culturally with a kingdom culture, with his ways, with heaven's ways, with the way that the Bible tells us that we need to live, that rests and starts on the fact that God is love and that God loves me. And we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as we need to love him. We need to love ourselves in God, and we need to love others with the love of God at the same time. And that's different from the way that the world operates. The world would say, suit yourself, please yourself, do whatever you, you want to do to make you feel good in that moment. It doesn't matter who you tread on or trample on to get there or whatever. The Bible says live differently. Live that life worthy of the calling. Being completely humble in all those qualities that Paul then begins to speak about. Surrounding your life. Making heaven's principles our priorities, of saying, these things are going to be the things that I'm going to pursue, that I'm going to work on, that I'm going to make an effort with in my life, and I'm going to praise God for those qualities that come easier naturally. And for the things that I'm going to struggle with, I'm going to say, God, I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to develop strategies. I'm going to develop thinking. I'm going to develop behavior patterns in my life with your strength. I'm going to run away from that negative attitude, that ungodly attitude, that ungodly thought. I'm not going to give it place in my life. And instead, in those moments, I'm going to turn to you. That may mean if you've got somebody who cuts you up in the traffic the wrong way, and all of a sudden you feel anger rising within you, that you're going to say, well, I'm going to put that praise worship CD or on my iPod, I'm going to stream it through my car right now. I'm going to choose to worship God. It might mean if there's somebody in your workplace or environment that just seems to be prodding and poking and trying to get you to make a negative response, you're going to say, in those moments, I'm going to say, Lord, would you bless them? When all you want to say is, God, I want to punch them. No. Because they're bigger than me. Not in my workplace environment. Honest. It means that we consider how we live our lives as being of vital importance. Our lifestyle and our testimony, the story of God in our life becomes really, really important. We need to walk the walk and we need to talk the talk. That is authentic integrity that's there. What we say we believe, we need to live. Because the world looks for a people who live with an authenticity, who didn't say one thing and then who behave and who act in another way. If we believe it, we need to live it. We need to be surrounded by those qualities of keeping the unity, being humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Through the completeness of God, the shalom of God, the peace of God that would reign and would rest in our hearts, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Why would we give that up for the sake of a someone or a something who would want to try and drag us away from the things of God? When He is our peace, why would we want to surrender that peace when He has the solution to surround us and to enable us? Aspire to be surrounded. Surround yourself with a godly attitude. And become surrounded by affirming ancient creeds with a 21st century application. See, Paul begins to declare what was probably an ancient, somewhere between a hymn and a declaration, probably within the fledgling churches, that would affirm their togetherness in God. But he continues to say in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as when you were called to one hope, when you were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And I know the purpose that he's talking through in this section of the book of Ephesians is all about unity, but there is something about one in God. It's almost though God's wanting us to multiply one and get more out of it. Now, I know that you can't multiply one in the natural. You know, one times one is always one. But through this one, this affirmation of one, this affirmation of unity, this affirmation of our togetherness, our connectedness with God and our connectedness with each other, it creates us, within us, the opportunity to produce more, to get closer to God, to know His love. In fact, it affirms a number of things. It begins to affirm the ministry of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Spirit in your life. In these couple of verses, Paul speaks of Father, Son, and Spirit all conspiring for you. Sometimes you may feel as though you're on your own. You are never on your own. Sometimes you may feel as though, who's for me? Paul says, well, as you do your part, heaven's going to do its part. And it's great that there are angels, and you know, God's the God of the angel armies. It's great that there are angels who might battle in the heavenly realms on our behalf. And, you know, Scripture speaks of those kind of things. But isn't it good to know that God the Father, that God the Son, and that God the Holy Spirit is 100% behind you making it in life? 100% behind you discovering what it is to be a child of God, discovering what it is to be a son of God, discovering what it is to be full of the Holy Spirit, His power and His fruit in your life, that you would be able to carry the kingdom of God to a needy and hurting world, that you would be able to declare and to demonstrate the love of God to those who have no hope, to a people who are living in darkness, that they would see a great light, the light of the world that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the light of the world that is, Jesus said to His disciples, you are the light of the world. That we would be a people who truly arise and shine, for the glory of God has risen upon us. I want to tell you, Paul wants to affirm the ministry of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. It affirms the uniqueness of you, your gifting, but at the same time, the uniqueness of us all joined together by the glue of God into the body that is the church. Paul writes very famously into 1 Corinthians, church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of what this body looks like. And sometimes we jockey for position. Sometimes we look for this and we look for that. We say, God, what's your will? What's your plan? God, where do I fit in life? Where do I fit in this group, this body that's here? Well, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he speaks it and he says it like this in verse 12. He says that the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For all were baptized by one Spirit into one body. Hello, yeah. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. But now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not be for that reason, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but there's one body. And it continues to go on and speak about what it is, about those parts that are seen, those parts that are hidden, how all are to be honored. And it goes on in verse 27 to say, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those of speaking in different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Paul speaks and says there are giftings that are unique in God to you that are for the body, that you have access to, and that the gifts that you bring is important. The gift that God gives you that is a grace gift from heaven into your heart, but then you bring to enhance the body is so important. You need to surround yourself with these ancient creeds that affirm who God is, affirm who you are in Him, and affirm the mission that you have in the Lord. Pentecostal churches don't often do well in affirming ancient creeds. But here in Scripture is that moment that just affirms the Lord, affirms the body, affirms the Spirit, affirms the call that we were called to, affirms the Lord, affirms faith, baptism, God the Father, and affirms His grace in our lives to enable us in life. It affirms the uniqueness to you. It affirms hope, faith, mission, and a confidence that God has truly got a future for each and every one of us. Therefore, our role is to trust His love, to trust his truth, to live for today, but to live for that day that is beyond today, to let every day become an adventure with God. It affirms being baptized. I've already spoken a little bit about what it means to be baptized, what it means to follow Jesus' example, what it means, the symbolism of baptism, being dead to self and alive in Christ, that the old is gone and is buried in death, but you're made alive and new upon public confession of your faith, that outward expression of that inward call. It follows the example of Jesus. In Luke chapter 3 and in verse 21, it says that when all people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." In those moments, there is heaven opening. In those moments, there is Father, Son, and Spirit in complete unity. And we're praying that today, that for Hannah, that she experiences not just the affirmation of the Son's death and the fact of his resurrection and its power in his life, in her life. We want to say that she would experience an affirmation from her Father in heaven, that she knows that her Father in heaven loves her and is for her. We want to pray that the Holy Spirit would be evident in her life, in ministry from that point on and forward, as we know that Jesus, his earthly ministry began. Yes, into the wilderness, tempted in those moments, but beyond that moment, his earthly ministry just exploded all over the place. The kingdom of God were preached, the sick were healed, and sinners encountered their Savior. We are inescapably surrounded. Paul says in verse 6, there's one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and who is in all. I want to say you are inescapably surrounded. That even in those moments, if you wanted to try and escape it, you can't escape it. I think Hannah's life and her testimony, her story would be that for a season she tried to escape the inescapable love of God and the plans of God for her life. But she was inescapably surrounded because God was with her, even those times where she felt distant and where she felt far off, as it might be for each and every one of us in our lives in the past and in those moments, or it might be for you in this place and in this room right now. You are inescapably surrounded. This is a declaration that God is God all of the time. It says that he is over all, that he is sovereign, that he is God. It's a declaration that says that God operates in the middle of the stuff of life. It says that he is through all. At moments when you're like, why is this happening? God knows. And he will use every situation, whether its origin was in heaven, whether its origin was with man, whether its origin was in the pit of hell, he can use every situation for his glory and for his purpose. He is over all. But he is also through all. He is in nature. He is in creation. He is in our life and in our interactions. His fingerprints are everywhere. What he has done and also what he is doing and also his footprints to lead us on are also able to be seen as we seek first his kingdom. Because my Bible says, as I seek first his kingdom, that everything will be added to me. Seek first his kingdom, his ways, be surrounded by the things of God. It also reminds me that God presences himself in our lives to help us to declare and to demonstrate his kingdom, his love, his power, and his reality. Because every moment is a moment from God for us to use, to arise, to be all that we can be, to live his life, being surrounded by him and surrounded by God qualities on the inside and on the outside so that we can make it because he is in all. Which means that he's in us, in our life, in our relationships, in our moments, in our conversations, in our hugs and our smiles and the things that we might do so that others may know the goodness of God. I want to finish now by just asking you the question, what are you surrounded by? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you surrounded by something or someone or people or situations that are going to help you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received? See, in these verses, in multiple times, it speaks about calling. Speaks about the principles of God and the purposes of God that are over their life. And it says, you know, what? So are you surrounding yourself on the inside and outside with things that are going to help you fulfill his call that is over your life? If it is, brilliant. If it isn't, can I encourage you to maybe get a new entourage in your life? Surround yourself with some things that are going to bless you, that are going to help you in God. Surround yourself with attitudes and qualities and principles and behaviors that in the inside and in the outside that's going to help you to achieve all that heaven has got destined for you. Yeah. Don't shortchange yourself. Live with the reality and the experience and the gratitude of somebody who is inescapably surrounded by God, his ways, and his plans. God bless you, church. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Let's pray. And then worship team are going to come back. We're going to sing one song as we get ready to just go into the baptismal tank. And then we're going to baptize Hannah. Maybe somebody will head out. Annette, would you want to head out just and get the kids and bring them back in? That'd be wonderful. And thank you for that as well. Let's pray. I'm just going to pause for a moment to let you do some talking with the Lord. Only you and heaven truly know what you've surrounded yourself with on the inside and on the outside. And just now there is an opportunity to declare. There's an opportunity to commit. To maybe change some of those things that you're surrounded by. Maybe it's asking for help. Maybe it's a different pathway that you need to be on. Because the pathway that you're on is leading to destruction and not leading close to God. It's not God's path for you. Maybe you need to surround yourself on the inside with attitudes that are going to bless, not bring you down. Why don't you talk to the Lord? He is only a prayer away. As you call, he will answer. Doesn't need to be religious language. In fact, the best prayer that you can pray is help. Next best thing you can pray is change me. And the ultimate prayer that you can pray is save me. And I would just like to take a little moment before we sing and move on to maybe pray a prayer and to include you in that prayer, but I'd like to do that just in this private, personal moment when nobody's looking around. In those moments where this is you and God and you're praying a prayer, you've meant it from your heart and you're saying, I don't want to do life this way. I want to be surrounded by the things of God. I want to make God number one in my life. You've heard me saying this morning that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. And so right now, I want to ask you if, because you've been struggling with who's surrounding you, what's surrounding you, if today you're praying a prayer that says, I am going to put my faith and trust in Jesus. I'm going to recognize that he died for a sinner like me, that he shed his blood so that I might be forgiven as I say sorry to him. I'm going to ask that in these moments that you do something really simple, that you raise your hands, a sign that says, Gordon, I want to be included in this prayer. I'm doing business with God. I'm saying yes to him and yes to his ways. I wonder, is there anybody in this place today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else in this place today saying yes to the things of God? I think people in this place recommitting themselves to the Lord, surrounding, maybe recategorizing and prioritizing the things in their life. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? One last time before I pray. And Father, I thank you for the many people in this place today that are saying yes to your ways, that are saying yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord. They're saying yes to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that from heaven the Holy Spirit might be stirred once afresh the things of God in their heart and life. Lord, would you empower people to live for you? Father, we pray right now for the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. The eyes would be taken up, that hearts would be filled with just a glimpse of the resurrected Savior Jesus. And that, Father, all honor and glory in and through our lives are to you. Lord, I pray for anybody who feels surrounded by wrong, by bad, by negative, by hurtful, by shameful things, by forces and by habits that would want to drag them away from the things of God. Lord, I pray for strength. Lord, I pray for freedom. Lord, I pray for a cutting off of those things and those ties and a loosing into the liberty and the freedom that Jesus brings and his resurrection life. Father, I pray it in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. If you need prayer at the end of the service, some of the prayer team will be at the front here. We'd gladly pray with you, help you, point you in the right direction. If you need to speak to somebody, don't leave this place till you've spoken with them. If you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, don't leave this place till you've done that. Live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. We're going to sing.